Have no fear. We're going to teach you how to reach your friends. Now, before, when I was growing up, we used to go to drive-in. And before the main movie, you always had that little short movie. I don't know, sometimes I used to do it in the movie house as well. Do you know what drive-in is? Remember, you used to park your car. Well, you wouldn't remember that, but you'd park your car and then you'd watch a big screen. Okay, that's how young I am. Okay. Anyway, so that's what that was. That was just the main movie before. So, okay, let's get on to how to pursue our friends and love. This is, I've got it right here. If you don't have one, we need to get you one of these. This is a tool to help you. We're going to teach you how to pursue your friends and to get them to know Jesus. Okay, so it's a tool. So if you don't have one, should we hand it out now? Can we hand it out now? So if you don't have one, why don't you put up your hand and Pastor Mark will make sure that you get one. So the first step was, okay, if you remember, to pursue your friend, to pray with passion. And if you remember, Genevieve told us that she was saying that if you wanted something from your mom, you'd say, please, please, mom, I really want some airtime. Please, can I have money? Please, please, please. And you would beg your mom until she's like, I can't take it anymore. Here's money for your airtime. And she was saying that that's what we need to do with God. We need to go to God. And you say, please, please, God, we want you to save our friends. And we need to pray. We need to pray without ceasing. But how do we pray? Now, she taught us that we have to praise God. We need to say, God, you're such a good God. Thank you, Lord, that you love us. Thank you, Lord, that you're an almighty God. And then we go in, we go into request. We need to ask God to change us. We need to ask God to work in our lives, to help us to reach our friends. Then we have to admit that we can't do much without him and that we really, really need him in our lives. Then we need to yield. We need to say, Lord, here I am. Lord, use me in any way that you want. And then we need to take our friends to God and say, Lord, please, 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 please save my friend. I really want you to. Lord, I don't want my friend to go to hell. I want my friend to be with us in eternity. And then she encouraged us to have the prayer date at 8. Who was there? Abba, no, you were there. Who else? You were there. Okay. On last night, we had 18 of our teens on the WhatsApp group praying for their lost friends. If you're not on a group, then you need to put your name down and we're going to add you. And it's just short little prayers that we're praying that we will be able to reach our lost friends. And we've done it for a week and we'll go to continue and then eventually we're going to see God answering our prayers. So Genevieve asked us to identify three friends that we want, or family members even, that we want to see saved. And we had to write their names down. And then we're going to go to pursue and love, and then we're going to go, Pastor Mark is going to teach us how to persuade our friends, how to persuade them with the truth. Okay, so as we go along, okay, I'm going to teach you how to pursue your friends with love. But now you're going to ask me like, okay, I think I know how to love, but I want to show you what the Bible says about love. Juanita, would you come up and read that scripture for us?
If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel with others' grovel. Takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always. Always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. 1 Corinthians 13.
Wow, what a powerful scripture. Hey, puts up with anything, trusts God always. I know somebody who loves like that. I know I don't. I don't love like that, but I know that somebody who does. Jesus loves like that. And I can tell you until I'm blue in the face that this is how Jesus loves. But I think you need to find out for yourself how Jesus loves. And there's scripture. Sorry, Mark, do you have the little scriptures? And I want you each to have one of those scriptures on your table, and I want you to read through it and to find out how did Jesus love in his day. Okay, can I have one person from each table come up? And okay, tell us, what did Jesus do?
Well, Jesus shared loaves, the 7 loaves and fish. So in my defense, or in my understanding, the Lord is our provider, basically.
God provides.
For Jesus, the way he persuaded people with love, he showed compassion. Even if he knew that people were going to criticize him, he actually still went forth and started healing them.
That's right.
In my verse, I think what God did that was right was he healed the people that were demon-possessed.
He cast out demons.
He died on the cross for us.
He died on the cross for us.
Have you went to school without no leader? Have you ever seen a crowd of sheep with no shepherd? Well, there was a large crowd, and Jesus came in, and he led that crowd to one direction. That's what Jesus did, and that's his love. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, Jesus healed the sick. Jesus fed the hungry. Jesus preached the gospel. He cast out demons. Those people that we're afraid of, those people that are dirty and scary, those are the people that Jesus loved. And you, of course, but Jesus loved them as well. Jesus prayed for people, and Jesus ultimately died for us all. Hey, now that's an awesome love, isn't it? So I'm going to feed the hungry quickly. That's how much I love you. I will even feed you. Hey? Okay, so we know what love is, and we know how Jesus loved. But do we know how to love? So let me teach you. Okay, there's 2 ways that you can love people. By using your eyes, your ears, and your hands, we can love people. When Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, just like you read there. Okay, so Jesus looked. He was aware of the people around him. He knew what emotional needs they had, what physical needs they had, and what spiritual needs they had. Quickly in your groups, if you can just spend a minute chatting about how you can be looking at people and seeing the needs around you. I'll just give you a minute, and I'll ask 1 or 2 randomly to come and share. So discuss this in your small group. Okay, so what shall I look for when I pursue my friends in love? Okay, who wants to share just 1 quick idea? She's going to look for trouble. Okay, that sounds bad, but you're going to see what trouble they're going through. What is the issue that they're facing, hey? If people are like me, if I'm sad, I wear my emotions on my sleeve. You can see I'm sad. And so you watch out. You watch out for signs of a need. So Peter's going to look out for the need. Okay. By using our ears, God has given us 2 ears and 1 mouth. So we should be listening more than we're speaking. By listening, we get to truly know someone. The more we know, the better we understand. The better we understand, the better we know how to love that person. Hey, quickly in your groups, discuss how should I be listening out? What should I be listening out for when I'm trying to save my friends?
I would listen for what they feel about religion in general.
That's very smart. Hey, should listen out for what they believe in their religion or how they feel about religion. This young gentleman says he'll listen out for their complaints and their troubles. Excellent. Okay, so this week, as I was preparing this sermon, I had to go drop something off at my daughter's school, and while I was there, I bumped into a dad whose little boy I taught, and talking just random stuff, teasing him about his little boy who's got so big from when I last saw him. And I was trying to make this getaway because I had work to do. And as I started making the exit, he said, "I really need to just tell you," he's an auditor. And he said, "You know, I've always had jobs. I've always been a contractor. And when one job ends, there's always another job." And one year it was coming. And he said, "You know what? I'm out of a job. And I've been out of a job for about 2 months now. And I don't understand it." And that was my cue that I needed to do something. Now, I don't have that kind of money to give the man to make him survive the next few months. But you know what I could do? I could pray for him. And so I put my hand on his shoulder and I prayed for him. And I encouraged him and said, "You know what? God's promised that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And he's promised that his children," because I know this man's a Christian. I said, "I promise you that God has promised that you will never go without bread." And by the time I left, I'm sure he was touched. Okay, so I wasn't really listening out, but I heard. Can we be listening out to hear what our friends are telling us? "Use your hands. For the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus came to serve, and he's expecting us to serve. In your small groups, I want you just to spend another minute just discussing how you can serve your lost friends. Okay, is there anyone that would like to share? You'd pray for them, and by using your hands, you'd lay hands on them, hey, and you'd pray for them. That's right.
Make something creative or encourage them or actually teach them something that can actually help them.
You'd actually make something to help them. That's awesome. And I'm going to show you a video that is, to me, is one of the best videos ever. And what did he get? And I don't know if you noticed, in the beginning of the video, to him it's quite hard to give. Hey, you can see he's like, "Oh, do I really want to give this young girl that money?" And by the end, it became such a joy and he was laughing. And that's what we need to be like. And you know that if he was a Christian and he wanted to share the gospel with those people, they would have given him the time of day. And I know without a doubt that they would have become Christians. Okay, has anyone who ever heard of love languages? You have? Awesome. Okay, so God has created in us love languages. And we've got a tank. It's called our love tank. And when people do certain things for you or say certain things for you, it fills up your love tank. And I'm going to teach you five of them. You might have one or two of them or maybe even three of them. But and as I share, you'll probably realize that you've got some of them. So here we go. Our first one, physical touch. It's healthy touch. It's a hug. It's standing right next to them or sitting right next to them. It's rubbing their arm. It might be holding their hands. Now, my Ashley this is her love language. She doesn't sit next to me on the couch. She sits on my lap. If I'm standing and I'm cooking, she hangs on me. It's not sitting next to me. That is her love language. And some of you are going to realize that, maybe that's my love language too. Words of affirmation. Now, let me tell you a secret. Pastor Mark's not listening. If you want something from Pastor Mark, tell him that he's the best person, he's the best youth pastor, the best public speaker, and then ask him for whatever you want. And guess what? He'll give it to you. Pastor Mark likes to be complimented. He likes people to speak life and hope into him and say encouraging things. Quality time. Now, that's to hang out with you, to watch cat videos or YouTube videos with you. Okay, or lying on somebody's bed and listening to music with them. It's spending quality time. And sometimes that quality time is even just being in the same room as them. I sometimes sit in the lounge doing whatever I do, and then Pastor Mark will say, "Why don't you come do that in the bedroom? Come sit here and just do it in the bedroom." Now, he doesn't want me to talk to him because I know he'll kick me out if I talk too much. So it's not that he wants me to talk to him, but he wants me just to be in the same room as him. So sometimes that's all you need to do is be in the same room as somebody. Acts of service. Now, if you're trying to save your mom, say for instance, your mom's not a Christian, what you would do then is you would wash dishes for mom every night. Oh, yes. If it's a friend who's struggling with a subject and you get better marks than that person, you would go over to their house and you would help them. Or they've got a project to do and you want to help them with the project. That is acts of service. Receiving gifts. Who likes to receive gifts? Yes. Okay. It's sometimes even giving your friends a gift. Now, it's not about how much you spend. It's not about how big it is. It could be homemade. You could even pick a flower for your friend. And on your way to school, you pick it and you say, you know what, I thought of you while I was walking to school. You know, that would speak huge amounts of love to your friend. But now, okay, I'm gonna ask you if you know what your love language is. And if you can identify your love language, it'll make you more aware of people around you and their love languages. So if you ask people to hug you more, or if you're a hugger, that would be your love language. If you say nice things to people, if you're always telling people they look beautiful and they're amazing and they're the best friends you've ever had, that would be words of affirmation. If you're finding that you're always telling your friend, you know what, you never make time for me. You never spend time with me. Who has ever said that to a friend? I know you say that because Ash has said that before. She's like, oh, friends always say I don't spend time with her, but I don't have time. Okay. Your love language is quality time. Do things for me. It's acts of service. Now, if Pastor Mark wants something from me, now I'm telling you a secret, then Pastor Mark has to do acts of service for me. So when he washes the dishes for me, he gets brownie points. When Pastor Mark makes me coffee, but a cappuccino early in the morning, he's earning brownie points. I like acts of service. And how do I know that? Because I like doing stuff for other people. I do stuff for my kids all the time. And you know what? Sometimes they don't even notice. That's cool. Pastor Mark notices. Okay. So now that you know, so you wrote down your names in Praying with Passion. And you started praying for them, haven't you? Yes. And now that I've shown you how to speak your friends' love languages, and I've asked you, and I've shown you how to be aware of the stuff that's happening around you so that you can be appropriate, and you're going to move one of your friends. If you know your friend really, really well, and you know that their love language is spending time with them, then you'll move their name down to Pursue with Love. And then this week, you're going to start doing that. You're going to spend time with your friend at break. You're going to walk her to her classroom. You're going to be there all the time, okay? And when you know that Abigail needs words of affirmation, you'll write her a little poem, or you'll send her a WhatsApp saying, hey, thanks for being the best friend in the world. Thank you for, you know what, you've got the most amazing smile, and to see you every morning and you smile at me just melts my heart. Okay, so we're going to start that this week. And so, but why do we do this? Okay, we said we want to win our friends, but why do we want to win our friends? Because Scripture says, Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the harvest field. What does that mean? You know what? Your friends don't know it, but your friends want to know Jesus. Your friends want to have an experience with Jesus. Your friends have got that hole in their heart, that gap in their heart that needs to be filled, and you've got the secret. So the harvest is plentiful, but yes, our workers. So we need you guys to go out. This quote by Charles Spurgeon really touches my heart. If sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped around their knees. Let no one go there unwarned and unprayed for. Wow. How powerful is that? If we've told our friends and prayed for them and they still want to go to hell, that's the only way they're allowed to go to hell. They're not allowed to go to hell without us praying for them and without begging God and grabbing onto them and saying, I'm not going to let you go. What are we expecting from you guys this week? We expect you to keep your date at 8. So if your names aren't down, please give it to Pastor Mark and we'll put you on the WhatsApp group. We're expecting you to pray for your 3 lost friends because we're trusting that every friend that you pray for, God is going to bring into the kingdom. We pray that you are going to, we ask that you pursue your friend with love, that this week you're going to do stuff. You're going to love them. You're going to WhatsApp them. You're going to visit them. You're going to help them with their homework. You're going to pursue your 3 friends and you're going to do physical touch. You're going to words of affirmation, quality time, acts of service, and giving gifts, even if they're small gifts. Could I ask you all to stand up and we're going to pray this prayer of commitment. Dear, can you pray with me? Dear gracious God, thank you for the mission you gave me. I give you my hands to create something of beauty, build something of strength, serve the broken and needy. I give you my feet to lead by example. Go where you lead, carry me to worship. I give you my mind to learn more of your world, more of your word, and see. I give you my voice to speak kind of others, share your story with my friends, sing your praises. I give you my time to work for you, rest and play, worship and pray. Gracious God, thank you for the mission you gave me. Amen. You can sit. Can I just pray for you guys quickly? Lord God, I want to thank you for each one here today. Thank you for the people that you've brought into our lives. God, it's not by mistake. You've brought those friends into our lives, that we will pray for them, that we will pursue them, and that they will come to know you. Lord God, I pray that you will give us the courage to tell our friends that we love you and that we're praying for them. If you've not ever experienced Jesus in your life, if you've never experienced the love and the joy in your life, I pray that, I ask that there's about 4 or 5 of us leaders here. If you need to speak to anyone, we always are so willing to pray with you and to love on you. God, I pray that as we go this week, that you will go with us. Lord, help us to make a difference today. Help us not to just live a life that's all about me, but to love you more than we could ever. And we pray this in your precious and awesome name, in Jesus' name. Amen. And then next week, Pastor Mark is going to share Persuade with Truth. So you have to come because that's the next one. So after you've written your names down because you're praying for them, you're now loving them, and now you're going to tell them the truth. And may God just, may you just have an awesome, awesome week. May God do great stuff through you and may you feel His presence. May you just be blessed today and may you find happiness in serving others. In Jesus' name, God bless.